I was thinking of something, but it's probably better than I not share. It's because it's embarrassing on my side. So, well, I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. This passage is not your typical missionary passage, but it has some really interesting principles for us to apply concerning our opportunity to serve the Lord and to use what we have learned of the Lord and to pour that in the lives of others. And I'll read the passage. We're going to read the first 7 verses, and then we're going to look at how the Lord gives us the opportunity to see what His plan is for growth in the context of a local church. Acts 6, verse 1, it says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege that it is to open Your word. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will guide us to understand Your word so that we can put it into practice in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a need here. Context, time of Pentecost, a lot of people were becoming Christians. They were putting their faith and trust in Christ. And it was interesting that it also brought people together of different cultures. It was a very unique time and for a very unique event. But it's interesting that there is a cultural frustration there as well. In verse 1, it says, "There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Now, it's interesting how the apostles noticed that wasn't an unnecessary situation. In other words, they did say, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. But they recognized that there are two types of needs there. There's a physical need and a spiritual need. But they're also noting that the spiritual need takes priority, because they said it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Although they did see that there is a necessary situation which they needed to address. And it's interesting, when you look at the pastoral epistles, you look at their qualifications for a pastor. And there's also qualifications there for deacons. And in the word deacon sometimes has been translated simply to mean the word servant. So a deacon really was a servant. There are two offices in the church, pastor and deacon, and the deacon really, he is, in one sense, you can say the official servant. He's not the only servant. It's more like a pattern. If you look at those requirements for a pastor and the requirements or the qualifications for a deacon, that is not to say the pastor is the only one who should be responsible in these areas. Nor is it saying the deacons are the only ones who should be responsible in these areas. Faithful in their house, mature, and full of the Holy Spirit, and led by the Lord, applying the Word of God in their lives. It's not saying just the pastor and just the deacons are responsible. What it's saying is, by putting the qualifications there, the requirements, it's saying that they are a pattern. And what do we do with a pattern? With a pattern, we look at, for example, my daughter, she's studying graphic design. And one of the things that she's actually getting involved with is a 3D printer. Now, they're actually, sometimes with tennis shoe companies, instead of actually making a tennis shoe, they will actually do a 3D printout of a shoe. And it is a prototype. Now, what they don't want is for everybody who buys their shoes to wear one of those white 3D printouts. It is a prototype of what they want to produce for everybody to wear, the tennis shoes. It's the same thing with our responsibilities here. God is not saying here concerning those requirements for a pastor or deacon that they're the only ones who should be responsible. Who should be responsible to be faithful? Who should be responsible to be sober, to look at the responsibilities concerning their family and be faithful in that area of rearing their children for the Lord and be an example for the spouse? It's all of us who put our trust in Christ. And so when we look here, even though we're talking about seven people who are chosen for a specific task, it's giving us an understanding of what happens when people serve. And I'll explain this in a second. There is a physical need as a spiritual need. And how do they address it? They address the spiritual need and the physical need. They address the need to develop the spiritual component through providing those who are serving in the physical component. So actually, in the context of a local church, which of those two is important? Well, I believe both are important. And I think when, for example, when at our house in Mexico, when people would knock on the door, we wouldn't give them money, but we would give them food. At the college, the students, when they knock on the college door, the students will go to the kitchen, they'll get them a plate, and sometimes they'll ask them just to sweep the front, and they'll give them a plate. While they're eating the plate, they give them the gospel. So they're not going to say, I don't care about your physical need, let me tell you about the gospel. They'll actually feed. We'll feed them, but we'll also take advantage of that physical need to address the primary need, the need that is more important, which is the spiritual need. And so notice what's going on. There's a two-part solution. The two-part solution is attention to ministry or attention to service, but the other part is the maturity of the leadership. Because even the apostles are saying we're going to develop ourselves, and note the verse, or dedicate ourselves. Verse 3, it says, verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. I believe that involves preparing, studying the Word of God, and then also explaining or presenting or expositing the Word of God. And obviously, talking about how to apply the Word of God. Because if it's just knowledge, as I mentioned in the morning, if it's just knowledge of the Lord, it's theory. When we learn of the Lord, we must put that into practice. And that's really why the Lord has given us an understanding of who He is, so that we can understand who God is, so that we respect Him for who He is, and serve the Lord for the way that the Lord provides understanding of Himself through His Word, how He reveals Himself to us. And through that, in love and obedience and reverence for the Lord, we put into practice what He has called us to do. So we have this responsibility of taking the attention to the ministry or serving and then maturing the leadership. Now, it's interesting what happens when the seven were chosen. The last verse that we were talking about, verse 7, says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. And we think, wait a second. They were called to serve, those seven. And we also know that among the seven, at least one of them was a preacher. It doesn't mean that a servant cannot preach. Obviously, it's talking about the opportunities that they have to attend to a material need, which actually was, I would say that there's actually a spiritual component in attending to genuine needs. I still remember as a kid the cassette tapes. Now we have the internet, but the cassette tapes, for example, that would be given to the shut-ins and the opportunities to meet them where they are. That's a spiritual need, even though you're attending to sometimes even physical needs. But notice what happens as a direct result of more people ministering, more people serving. What is the result? And the result perhaps could be seen in two different ways. One of the ways, and we do know that one of these seven died preaching. So we know that these men were full of full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. These people were directed by the Lord. They're faithful to the Lord. They were wise people. And it's interesting, as they served, and I think we can understand this concerning the type of people. They didn't say, okay, just grab me seven guys. Okay, no. They said they actually had qualifications for these seven. And it's interesting that when they served, they're also able to be a witness to the people that they are serving. So it wasn't just leadership, it's everyone getting involved. And those seven, again, one of the ways in which I believe that the disciples grew and that the word of God increased was those who are serving, those servants who are actually being involved in ministry, serving others, tending to the needs, but also corresponding with them, perhaps even discipling them at the time that they're serving them. But also another way in which we saw the result in verse 7, the word of God increasing and the number of disciples multiplying, was through the maturity or the continual spiritual develop of those who were preaching, those who were communicating, those who were expositing the word of God. And it's interesting when we think about that, and I'm going to apply that in the context of the men that we have been working with and the ones that we will be working with. It's interesting that there's a process that continues when we make an investment in the maturity of leaders in different areas of the world. Because what they are able to do is prepare the next generation for leadership and service. And when you think about all the things that one has to do in the ministry, and you think about the opportunities when there are others there to help, that actually enhances every aspect of the ministry, but more specifically, it allows the leadership to spend more time in prayer and to spend more time in the Word of God so that they can communicate that to the disciples. Now, when you think about that in the context of Latin America, these men who have contacted us, sharing their desire to get more training, they have a burden. They have a very specific burden about the next generation. And that next generation are people that I probably will not see. Maybe I might meet them, but they have a burden for their generation, for their countrymen in their neck of the woods. And it's interesting that when we see this biblical principle of servants getting involved in serving, and through that there is a direct correlation in the maturity of the believers and the number of the believers. So think about that in the opportunities of thinking uniquely in this scenario. The Lord gave me an opportunity to provide pastoral leadership in Mexico, but He also gave me the opportunity to work with, alongside those who are now pastoring in many different places all throughout Mexico and Latin America and different parts of the world. Well, it's interesting that as the Lord gave us opportunities to work with the next generation, they were helping the next generation mature. And out of their groups, it's interesting that those local churches, for example, I showed this morning, those churches that were working with the college that by taking them on the weekends and mentoring them and giving them opportunities to put into practice what they're learning in the classroom, those churches actually started out very small. And in fact, a lot of those churches started by those who are serving in Hermosillo. While they're learning of the Lord, they are putting into practice what they're getting in the classrooms. And some of those mission works were essentially a what's called, a lot of times in Latin America, they call it a mission work, where they are discipling a group of believers. And after time, that group of believers gets larger and larger and needs a pastor for that mission work that eventually becomes a church. And it's interesting that those churches have planted other churches. But it's interesting how within those churches, a number of the young people have gone through those mission works and have sensed the Lord's call to become involved in full-time service. And they actually go through and study at the college. I don't know how many students I have taught who were sent by pastors who were former students of mine. And you think about that generation after generation, and it goes back to here. When we look at the opportunities and we get people involved in the context of the local church, we see people who are recognizing the needs. And that's really how the Lord calls. He calls people who are involved in serving the Lord, and He helps them understand the needs while they're serving. I don't know how many people, I have tons of friends who are missionaries, and it's really the Lord called them through service to the Lord. And it's interesting, it's as they decided to serve the Lord used their service to foment or to grow the amount of people who are pastors and teachers and missionaries all throughout the world. But it took those men and women who are now serving the Lord in different areas, it essentially took them while they're serving the Lord. So as I'm talking about Latin America, and I'm talking about how the Lord has given us opportunities to help with these pastors. But if I could put it down to brass tacks here, you know, it's interesting that the Lord gives us the opportunity to take what we have learned and to pour that in the lives of others. But it's interesting, too, that the Lord uses every one of us, and he's given us talents, gifts, and abilities to use those specific talents, gifts, and abilities in a very unique way. There are areas in the world where I can't go, but I can help those who can go get to the level where they can go. And it's interesting, even in here in the context of Richmond, Virginia, there are areas in which a lot of you cannot enter, but others of you can because of your background, your experience, the type of talents or gifts and abilities that you can be a witness in an area in which others can't. I didn't check, but for years, for tons of years, you know, right as you go out, there's this big sign that says you're now entering the mission field. And it wasn't for just the pastoral staff, and it wasn't for just the missionaries that came. It's for all of us. I'll tell you another thing that's really interesting. Mexico is the largest Spanish-speaking country in the world, 130 million. There's another country that's right behind it in which there are 55 million, at least 55 million. Out of those 55 million, there are a minimum of 40 million of those inhabitants that speak Spanish in their home. Do you know what country that is? You're in that country. There are more Spanish-speaking people in this country than any other country in the world. Think about that. Think about the opportunity for service. And think about unique ways in helping even with the Spanish congregation, as Pastor Guillermo is preaching right now. There's, you know, the opportunities sometimes don't come naturally. So I do encourage you, if you have a gift, a talent, and ability, but you haven't used it for the Lord and you're not sure, ask your pastor. I bet you anything that he has a niche there for you to serve the Lord in one capacity or the other. I mentioned this morning, but a lot of missionaries, basically, we do pretty much everything, not because we're good at everything, just because that there are needs that are there that exist that we have to do. But it's interesting when people come together and say, I want to serve the Lord with my gift, my talent, and ability. It's not as noble. No, you know what? If God has given you an ability, if God has given you that ability, if God has given you a gift, if God has given you a talent, he has given it to you, and the all-wise God knows that you have it for a very specific reason, and you need to find out what that reason is. He has not given it to you because it's a leftover gift. Again, these seven were called to serve, and out of their service, because they decided to serve, and really the only specific context of the service that we have inherently explicit in this passage is serving tables. It says, not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So we don't know everything that these seven did, but we do know that they served tables because that was a need, and they found men to address a need. And even in the context of serving in that way, again, what is the result that we have when we're all working together? And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So think about that. The Lord has given us a pattern in which when we are all serving, utilizing our talents, gifts, and abilities in out-of-the-box ways. I mean, think about, you know, if you are a plumber or a technician or a doctor. Really, I'm just listing off a few things. There is absolutely no limit to what you do in which the Lord cannot use that. In fact, I would say that God was ahead of you, giving you that interest in that area, giving you that talent ability so that you can use that for the Lord. So pray for your missionaries. Pray for us. We do covet your prayers. It's exciting what the Lord has given us to do. But you know what? It's exciting to know that the Lord has given all of us the opportunity to utilize what we have for the service of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to serve you. I pray that you will help us understand how that we can put into practice what you have given to us so that we can serve you with those gifts, talents, and abilities. We thank you for what you will do, and we pray in Jesus' name.